I'm gonna say it was good to see everybody here, but I see we got a couple missing. And, so, two people I can think of right off. But, we're glad to be here this morning. Amen. And, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and as the people, Lord, have been here worshiping you, Lord, and you coming and ushering in your presence, dear God. We ask, Lord, now at this point of the service, Lord, that you'll come and speak to us, Lord, from your word. Lord, I pray, Father, that may that our hearts be receiving this morning, dear God, for whatever it is, Lord, that you have to say. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen. I want to continue on with preaching on love projected. And I want to read from Romans 5:5, and then I want to go to Ephesians 5. We've read Romans 5:5 a couple of times already before. I just want to read it again, and it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Amen. Now, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, for he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." And you may be seated. No doubt you may have entered your mind as I kept going along preaching on projecting love, that eventually we were going to get a little bit closer into the home. And we've been preaching about God projecting love to us, and then us projecting love to one another, and brotherly love, and so on. But I want to take from this, draw from this scripture this morning. And you know, before you can ever get to this scripture, you've got to first meet the person that you're going to fall in love with. And you got to fall in love, and then you got to get married, and then this scripture comes into play in your life. And when a young woman, when they fall in love with one another, and then as time goes along, they get to know one another a little bit better. And then, you know, as they get to know each other a little bit better, then their hearts begin to beat as one. And yet they're not married yet, but they're beginning to beat as one. They're growing closer, and their love begins to bind them together. And when you see that, then you realize, well, now it's coming time to actually come and join the two together in marriage. But if they really love one another before they get married, then they'll have a confidence in one another, and they'll have faith in one another. And if they can't have that confidence or faith in one another, then they shouldn't get married. If they can't trust one another, then they shouldn't, by all means, should not get married. there should be able to have a trust and a faith there in each other. And when it's that way, why, you can, Brother Branham said, you could separate them one extreme south and the other extreme north, and they'll still be just as true to one another. And their love will still beat for one another no matter where they're at, and because they love one another. And the prophet said that's the way it should be with us in Christ. We should be able to have that confidence in Christ. And of course, he has that confidence in us. And we can, you say, well, how do I know he has that confidence in us? Well, let me ask you this. How do we know from the scriptures that God had confidence in Job? He let the devil put him through some really tough trials. So when you're going through those tough times that God's allowing you to face these tough trials, and that shows he's got confidence in you. He knows how you're going to come out on the other side of it. Like Job's wife said, I don't know why you don't just curse God and die. But God knew Job would never do that. Remember, the devil said to God, I'll get him to do that. But God had confidence in him that he wouldn't do it. And God's got confidence in us. He knows the beginning from the end. And sometimes along the way, we look at ourselves, and sometimes we can get a little discouraged from what we see with ourselves. But God's still working on you. And when you have something, you know, when you face something that you fail at, I know I've said this time and time again, but I'm going to say it again. When you face something that you fail at, don't let it bother you that you failed, because God's going to give you another opportunity. What you need to do is study on it. Now, this ain't just, I've heard this myself. You study on it. See what you did the last time. And so when you're presented with the same thing again, why, you don't repeat yourself. You actually do the right thing. You actually say the right thing. Like when someone, you know, we've talked and taught about how if somebody, Brother Bram said, if somebody says something bad about you, you just turn around and say something good. Now, I know that it's within our human flesh, we want to turn around and say something back. If somebody says something to hurt us, we want to hurt them back. That's our flesh. But as we let the love of God in to become more control of us, then's when we'll look, and we won't want to hate someone. We won't want to say something evil towards someone. No matter, friends, look, I'm not talking about just your brothers and sisters in church. Although that's very important, because I've seen it in the church where between people, all the people that call themselves Christian, they have a hard time doing that with one another. But I'm even talking about those that are of the devil, that God or nobody else or nothing else is ever going to change them. They're just going to be rotten and evil their whole life, and they'll be rotten and evil to you. But don't say nothing evil against them. That's not easy. But if you'll look at it this way, Jesus says when they begin to speak evil of you, rejoice. Leap for joy. Because it shows, it identifies who you are. He said, because so did their fathers to the prophets. Wow. Well, we're going to touch on that a little bit more here in a bit. Now, you're familiar with how that Brother Branham gave the example about when he used to go out with these cattle buyers. And they were buying breeding calves, little heifers. And they were buying them to breed to produce more cattle. And Brother Branham noticed one time that a difference between two calves. One calf sold for $11,000. Now, you think about this. Back at that time, boy, that would have been a lot of money. I mean, that'd been a lot of money to buy one calf for today if you wasn't a cattle buyer. You wouldn't think of it. But when they're trying to build a herd, why, you know, that's nothing. But back at that time, someone paid $11,000 for this one heifer calf. And there was another one which would look bigger, looked like the better choice, that sold for only $300. And Brother Branham asked him, he said, what was the difference? Why did this one that looked bigger and better, why did it sell for less money? And the man pointed out to him, said, did you see that wild stare in its eyes? He said, that wild stare in its eyes will pass down from its grandchildren to its great-grandchildren to its great-great-grandchildren, and none of them will ever make a good mammy. They'll never be a good mother to their calves. Now, I don't know how many of you have been familiar with being around cattle and things, but when I was a young boy, my dad and I, we raised beef. And we bought this one heifer one time, and she had a wild stare in her eye. And I'm going to tell you something, we could not keep that thing in a pen, in behind a fence, in the field, in the pasture. We couldn't keep her nowhere. She was constantly getting out. And Dad, later on, we went and was buying some more calves, and we ended up with another heifer calf. And the guy had kind of slipped it in on us, and we were supposed to be buying all bull calves. And we got this one heifer. And I came in and told my dad, there's a heifer. Dad went back to that farmer, he said, I ain't taking this heifer. I am not taking another heifer, he said. Well, because we had dealt with that one that had that wild stare in her eyes. And I'll tell you something, friends. Brother Branham said that cattle buyer told him, they'll run, you'll never be able to get any meat on them, even make beef out of them. That thing was constantly running and jumping out of the pen. Wild stare. And he said, the same thing goes for women. Of course, we all know that part of the quote. But there's another part in there that I want to point out also today. And that is, Brother Branham said, if you get the cattle breeder told him, said, if you get the right kind, like that one that sold for $11,000, said, look at her face. She was peaceful looking. She was a gentle calf. He said, she'll be a good mother and she'll pass it on down if you get her to the right breeder bull. Then they'll have good offspring. But if you get her to the wrong breeder bull, they ain't gonna be nothing but a bunch of renegades. So, you know, we so often hear this quote about the woman and the young girl and the wild stare in her eyes. But Brother Branham also finishes off by saying, we as Christians, it's not the beauty on the outside, it's the inside. Peace, quiet, adorn themselves with peace and quiet spirit, which is a great price before the Lord. That's what we want to look for on women and on men. And I'll tell you something, if some young girl marry the wrong guy, marry some guy that's nothing but a renegade, that's what kind of children she'll end up with. Because that passes on down through the genes. And the only thing that stops that is being born again. If they don't get born again, you'll never teach it out of them. You won't be able to talk it out of them. You'll never get it out of them. They'll be what they are. You say, show that to me by the scripture. I'm so glad you asked that, because I certainly plan to do it. Jesus was talking one time to the Pharisees, and he said, I know you say you're Abraham's seed. He said, but if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. And they said, we have Abraham to our father. He said, if Abraham is your father, you'd love me. But you seek to kill me, and this did not Abraham. He said, you do the deeds of your father, who was a murderer and a liar. He said, which was the devil. And you're of your father, the devil. And they couldn't understand what he had to say. His word could not be revealed to them, because God was not their father. They claimed God as their father, but they couldn't hear God's word, because Jesus said, you're not of God, but you're of your father, the devil. So there's your scriptural proof. He said, your father was a murderer, and you'll do his works. If you Abraham was your father, you'd do the works of Abraham. And I'll tell you something, friends. I've learned nature, outside of being born again, nature will always win over nurture. Whatever nature's in somebody, that's exactly what's going to come out. And if some young girl or some young man marries someone that has a wrong nature, then that's what they're going to end up with, problems. As long as they're together, and there's no promise they'll end up staying together. And then you'll be stuck by yourself the rest of your life, unless you do like some others and decide, well, I'll just leave church and go find me a church and let me do what I want. Well, we might have to touch on this again. I want to read from Colossians. Chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, begin reading at verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, as is fit in the Lord. Husband, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for it is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, Brother Branham said, in our actual makeup of how we were created, we were not made to sin. But we were made to be a worshiper. But he talks about, in the message of uncertain sound, which you're all familiar with, perhaps have heard it time and time again. But he said, God made you to work. God made you to come home. Love your children. Love your wife. And wife, be loyal and love her husband. And the children, love their father and mother. God made you that way. And when you look around the world and you see all the divorce rates, and you see the children hating their parents, and you realize what kind of spirit is behind that. Because it's not the spirit of God. Because God made us to love. Love your wife. Love your children. It says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. I said some things last Sunday about correcting children. And I said, don't do it when you're angry, because you'll end up doing it the wrong way. But a lot of times I've seen where fathers don't give any thought to about not provoking their children to anger. Now, that doesn't mean you just let them get by with everything. You got to be firm. You got to have a firm hand. You got to stand firm. But you know what I mean when the Bible says don't provoke them to anger. Or maybe you don't. There was two instances, the same thing, two examples I have, the same thing pretty much happening. And father had some children, had some boys, and his oldest boy, you know, got where why he wanted to let his hair grow long. And the father said, no, you're not going to do that. And he forced him. And this was an older teenager now. And not a little child. And he forced him down to the barber. And when they got down to the barber, it was a knockdown, drag-out fight in the barbershop. Now I'm talking about message, believing, people. And him fighting, trying to put his teenage son in the barber's chair. That's provoking to anger. You say, well, I can't let him go around having long hair. What am I going to do? Well, you can't fight them when they get to be as big as you are. That's not the right thing to do. It is never the right thing. I'm going to tell you something right now. It is never the right thing to draw back your fist at your child. I don't care how old he is. Because you draw back your fist and hit him with your fist, tell me how you're not going to provoke him to anger. I know another example, same thing. Man took the advice of his then pastor and was wrestling his son down in the barber's chair. Another message believer from a different, total different location in the United States. But I knew both people. And as far as I know today, neither one of them two boys are serving God. Say, well, what would I do in that case? Well, let's just see. Brother Branham had trouble with Rebecca. And he had been walking past some neighbor's house where Rebecca was at. And he heard her playing what they call boogie-woogie music. And he said it grieved him. And so told Meadie about it. Well, Meadie got all upset with her, and Rebecca and Meadie, they was butting heads anyway, according to what Brother Branham was saying. And Meadie was wanting to come down hard on her. And Brother Branham said, go ahead, beat her. No, he didn't. Wrestle her down. Hit her upside the head with something. Smack her. No, he didn't say none of that stuff. He said, she needs somebody to be her buddy. She needs somebody to love her. And said, if you won't, she'll find somebody else that will. And that other woman may teach her the wrong things. He said, we need to do is we need to commit her to God. Tell her what we think. Tell her how we feel. and then let her go and commit her to God. So, see, Meany was going to tell her, you can't go back over there around that girl. Well, she was wanting to go back over there. So Meany took what Brother Branham said, and Brother Branham said, now, Meany, it might seem strange, me being your husband and that, he says, but people come from all over the place to get my advice from the Lord. And he said, and this is from the Lord. And said, Rebecca said, well, I'm going. And she said, well, all right. But you know, we don't want you to. But said, we love you. And no matter what you do, we're going to love you. You're still our daughter. And Brother Branham said, when it come down to it, Rebecca decided, well, no, I'm not going to go after all. Well, it wasn't just Rebecca. It was God moving on the scene because they committed her to God. And Brother Branham kind of says a little laughingly, he said he overheard Rebecca talking to somebody else when she said, I got real wild. And Brother Branham kind of laughed. He said, that was wild enough for us. Now, it's not easy. And I'll tell you something, friends. There is talk that goes on around this message because they go by something Brother Branham talked about Billy Paul. And that, you know, and Billy Paul, you know, he said, you're not going to live here and live that way. And so Billy Paul went to stay with his grandmother. And so people take that. If they ain't going to live right, you kick them out of the house. And there was some brothers from a church we used to go to years ago, came to my dad one time, and they were pressuring my dad to kick me out of the house. That, forgive me for saying it this way, but that would have been a real dumb thing to do for me. Because if dad would have kicked me out, then I would have just went wild, wild. I wouldn't have cared. If dad would have kicked me out, I wouldn't have had nothing to ground me. I wouldn't have had nothing to ground me. There'd have been nobody standing there as an opposition. I know some of y'all don't know nothing what I'm talking about, do you? You're acting like, you're looking to me like you don't. Y'all never raised a strong-headed kid. Brother Jim, did you ever raise a strong-headed boy? I was strong-headed. And I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I didn't always make it known what I was going to do. I just went and done it. My dad could tell me, don't go do this. And I just look at him, knowing good and well I was going to do it anyhow. And some brothers tried to get my dad to kick me out of the house. My dad said, I'm not going to do it. As long as he's here, he'll be going to church. He said, if I kick him out of the house, it'll be like throwing him to the wolves. But as long as he's under my house, under my roof, there'll be some kind of structure. So I'm not a believer in kick them out. Now, I am a believer in the way Brother Branham said it. When they get to be of an age where they're adults, I'm not talking about kids now, but when they get to be adults, and they want to live however they want to do and live wrong, then you can tell them, look, as long as you live here, this is what's going to happen. You are going to go to church. You are going to do this and that. And I don't care how old you are. This ain't no train station. There is going to be a cutoff time. There is going to be a curfew time because we're not having these doors opening at 2 and 3 in the morning. But if you want to live some other way, then you need to find you somewhere else to live. Now, I believe in that when they get to be adults. But this scripture is not talking about when they get to be adults. It says, provoke not your children to anger. And that includes teenagers, because that's when you really can provoke them to anger. And it has seemed like sometimes dads will butt heads with their sons, and moms will butt heads with their daughters. Sometimes moms will butt heads with the sons too. But you got to, you know, here's the thing. You've got to be able to commit them to God. If they belong to God, God will correct them. If they don't, then there ain't no sense in you keeping yourself tore up. Brother Branham said, when you love your wife with all your heart and with all your soul, so you can love your wife from your soul. Yes, especially if it's agape love. You just love her. Then there ain't nobody in town could ever make you believe she wasn't a good woman. And he said the same thing for all those little tattletales that come and tell you your husband done this or that. Well, if you really love him, you got confidence in him. See, love settles the thing. And when you love God, all fears just scatter away. Now, we've read the scripture where it says perfect love casts out fear. Brother Branham was speaking in one message about a man who believed the message, believed what Brother Branham preached, but his wife didn't. And his wife wouldn't go to church with him to hear Brother Branham. And said every time he would come home from service, she was just jumping on him, bawling him out, carrying on about it. And said he knew it was the devil. So he would take her by the hand and begin to try to cast the devil out of her. And saying, come out of her, devil. Come out of her, devil. He said, but Brother Branham, it ain't changing nothing. Brother Branham said, you're going about it all wrong. He said, when you come home and she goes to acting like that, just take her in your arms anyway and love her and tell her you love her. He said, because love will cast out fear. Now, why was she carried on that way? Because of fear. The devil that was on her was causing her to fear. And that's what was causing her to react to him coming home from church that way. And so Brother Branham gets to the root of the problem. Not just that it was a devil, but what the devil was doing. And he said, you just show her you love her, and love will cast out the fear. And when the man done that, she got delivered of that devil and started believing the message. So this man, what he was doing was, he wasn't projecting love to her. When he started projecting love to her, then the devil had to leave. Because it's scriptural. Perfect love casts out fear. And then the devil didn't have nothing there to work with. So he had to leave. Brother Branham goes on to say, that's the way to cast out the devil from her. And he said, friends, the whole world is dying for love. That's one of the greatest things that we leave out of our Pentecostal blessings too much of, is love that mixes it together. Now, years ago, I heard a story Brother Dan Daisley used to tell. And, you know, Brother Dan came from, I think it was German background and Scottish background. And said, you know, neither one of them two are much at showing their affection or emotion. And so anyway, he would tell a story about an old Scottish man. And he came in one day, found his wife crying. He said, woman, what you crying about? And she said, you don't ever tell me you love me. He said, well, I told you on the day I married you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. And Brother Dan would tell this story to illustrate how that's not right. Your wife likes to hear, I love you. And the husband likes to hear it too. I'll get to that in a minute. But how often, when was the last time that you told your husband and wife, I love you? That seems to have got everybody quiet. Well, if that got you quiet, this next one's going to keep you real quiet. When's the last time you told God you love him? Because he likes to hear it. Don't you like it when God comes and shows you that he loves you? Don't you like it when you get in a service somewhere sometime, or you just get to worship God and the presence of God just comes down and engulfs you? That's him showing you he loves you. Brother Branham even said God wants to make love to you. He's just looking for people to make love back to him. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands, to love their children. So he's talking about the older women being examples to the younger women on how to love their husbands. Well, if she goes around calling him the old man, that ain't a very good example to the younger women on how to love their husbands. He ain't the old man. You ain't the old woman. I knew a family one time, the sister was serving God. She was going to church, her husband wasn't. And she had a boy about my age. I spent a lot of time over there. And this man, he wasn't a bad individual. He just didn't go to church. But he always called her the old woman. And thinking back, you know, I'm not sure she may have just barely been 30. And he called her the old woman. Neither one of them were actually old, but he always called her the old woman. And he would talk to her. He would say, old woman, Now, I don't think that's the way to greet one another. And I don't think that's a good example to show young people. I think, according to the scripture, the older folks ought to be examples to the younger folks. Well, you know, my family never was much of showing affection to one another. Then your family was wrong. That's how I was raised. You were raised wrong. God comes and shows you affection. Why shouldn't we show affection to one another? Not only that, but the scripture tells you to. The scripture is actually telling you, when it says husbands love your wife, it's telling you to project that love to them. Brother Branham said, God give us more old-fashioned mothers that'll teach their girls and boys how to do right and know right from wrong. That's what we need today. We got too many other kind of examples before our young people, such as smoking, drinking, carousing, and so forth, ought not be. And said some of us by mothers, so-called. And some of us by daddies, so-called. We'll say, you know, well, I never drank. I didn't smoke around my kids. I didn't run around my kids. But did you ever show them affection? I've known people. Perhaps you have too. They grew up and their parents never showed them affection. The daddy never showed them affection. And them ask their daddy when they get older, do you love me? Well, I put a roof over your head, didn't I? I put food on your table, didn't I? That ain't enough. You got to show them love. Show them an interest in them. You know, little children, when they're real little and they're first learning how to color and draw, and to them they'll think they drew a masterpiece. To you it just looks like a bunch of scratch. But when they come to you, don't be like, well, I'm too busy to be bothered by that. Make a to-do over it. When they come home from school or they make a good grade, make a to-do over it. Tell them that's good. And I'll tell you what, when they don't do good, well then, let them know that too. I know you can do better than this. Some parents, it seems like, they just don't have time for the children. I'll tell you what will end up happening. They'll be all growed and gone, and you never took time with them. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. My daddy, I can remember him working two jobs. And my mom working too. Trying to provide a living. And it was only one, I was the only child for 13 years. but just trying to make a living. And my dad still had time for me. I can remember my dad bought me a train set. And I, looking back now, I don't know how long he'd had to save up to got it. But I never asked for it that I can remember. But Dad bought me a train set. Now, my dad wasn't no cheapskate. If he went to get me something, he wasn't going to waste his money. So he bought me a train. It was an electric train. It went around the track, and it blew out smoke, and it had a whistle. And my dad, I had a playroom, a play area where I played. It was up in the attic. It was a finished attic where we lived. And my dad went up there with me in that play area, and he got down the floor with me and helped put that track together that and sat there and played with me with that train. He spent time. And as time went on, every once in a while, my dad would buy me another car to go on that train. Another, you know, railroad car. And till I kept adding to it. Then he bought me, then Tyco came out. And he bought me one of them. And then we'd keep adding to it little by little. But my dad would get down in the floor and play with me, working two jobs, plus whatever else he had to do at home. He took time with me. And that, I remember the one time he was working two jobs, he took me with him on the second job. Worked for a gas station. You know what I did? I passed out green stamps. Mom would pack me a lunch when she packed Dad a lunch. Anybody know what spam is? I ain't talking about that stuff in your email either. We'd cut some spam and make some sandwich out of it. And she'd pack us this lunch, you know, and we'd go work at this gas station. And while my dad, you know, back then, you didn't go up and pump your own gas, you know. Somebody attendant pumped your gas for you, checked your oil for you, checked, you know, cleaned your window for you, you know. And according to how much gas they got, why, I'd pass out some green stamps. And I don't know if y'all know what those are or not, but you'd save them in a book, and then you could go and trade them things in and that use them to spend. And so that was another way my dad would spend time with me. My dad could make the best prune cake you ever tasted in your life. And he was better at making pinto beans and fried potatoes than my mom was. Dad could make some really good fried potatoes. So he'd get in the kitchen and help mom out sometimes. And he taught me how to help out. I remember one time my dad was kind of joking around a little bit. Oh, I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. And Dad was kind of joking around a little bit, and he said something about me washing the dishes. And I said, I ain't washing them dishes. My dad said, what? And I said, you can spank me if you want to. I don't care. I ain't washing them dishes. Well, I guess you know the outcome of that one. I washed them dishes. I wasn't happy about it. But Dad taught me to wash dishes. Help out, you know. Now, the prophet even done that, friends. Remember when Meaty was all upset? And he come in and he put an apron on, went over and started helping her to wash the dishes. Because she was all upset, and he just got around her and started helping her, things like that, and it calmed her down. I don't know if y'all are with me or not, some of you. You know, but that's the message anyhow. You know, I know I tell you some examples about my life, and maybe you can shrug it off and say, oh, well, that's just them Brownings. Well, this was the Branhams. So, you know, that was your prophet. He talked about remembering this pretty dress she had saw, and him going down and getting the dress for her. What was it? What was all them examples when he was talking about somebody? What was he doing? Projecting love. Projecting love. And don't get this through your head. Well, that's women's work. Men's work is mowing the grass, taking out the trash, and washing the car. Well, Brother Branham washed the car, too, because you remember that one time that Meaty came to him over Joseph, you know, acting out. And in the example, Brother Branham said he was out washing the car. Oh, my goodness. Watch, you get yourself hung. And he also went in to help with the dishes. You know, if you don't never, you know, you say, well, my wife, she cooks for me and she does this for me and she does that. Do you ever thank her for it? Or do you just expect that that's her job, that's what she does? You ever thank her for taking care of you? This stuff ain't in my notes, but I was counting on some stuff not being in my notes coming out today. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and stop there. I got some more, but I don't know how much longer it'll take me. And we'll just continue on next Sunday. I just got a page started on next Sunday's notes. And let's just stand. You know, don't take one another for granted. Don't take one another for granted in your home. Husband and wife, children, fathers, mothers. Don't take one another for granted. Show appreciation. And that's the way it should be in the church too. Don't take one another for granted. You know, the world has got this thing, you know, that they call love, and they spread it around, you know, by their words so easily. You go to parting with somebody and they say, I love you. Do they really? When we say we love someone, let's say it from the heart. Let's say it from the soul. I love you. Brother Bram said we leave that out too much in the church. Love. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the service today, Lord, and the things, Lord, that you brought to us and pointed out, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you'll help each and every one, Lord, that's been here this morning and heard these things, Lord, to take them to heart, dear God. Lord, let it multiply and be fruitful in their lives because it's the word. Lord, I pray, Father, your blessings on each and every one. Be with them today, Father, as they depart. Be with them, Lord, as they go to eat and so on, Father. Keep them, I pray. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen.